Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome to Can't Read, Can't Write. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I don't know how this conversation is going to go today. In my mind, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. But then as I thought more about it, I'm really afraid that I am going to date myself and I'm going to seem older than I ever have been today.
That can't be true.
I'm really afraid of that. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how this conversation goes. So the inspiration for today's episode is legends. Okay? Now, when I say legends, what do I mean? Do I mean Amelia Earhart? No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? You're excluding her from this?
Yes. Let's narrow it down. I'm talking about Cleveland legends.
Oh, okay.
So as residents, as people who have grown up in the region of Northeast Ohio, who do we consider to be legends? Who were legends when we were growing up? Who do we think are legends now? Is that even a thing anymore?
Oh, I definitely think it is.
You do think it is?
I do.
So I would like to hear why coming up. And then I think a whole conversation could be about Cleveland sports legends. I think that's a whole different category.
Oh, you think? Okay.
I really do. So I think we should exclude sports stars.
Because I was going to say, obviously, LeBron.
Obviously, LeBron.
Like, that's a legend right there.
Yeah, and Jim Brown. I think, depending on how old you are, Bernie Kosar, the quarterback who still hangs around and does things around town. Do you know Bernie Kosar has been in this building like 5 times since I've worked here, and I've never met him.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you just miss him?
Well, because he's on other shows.
Oh, yeah, that is true. We do have the sports station right there.
He's never been on our show. And I think the last time he was in studio, we were doing the Request-a-thon that day. And Bernie Kosar came in to talk to the sports station.
Uh-huh.
And I found out that he was in the building. And I was like, oh my God, he was my hero when I was growing up as a Browns fan in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have met Bernie Kosar. And they're like, oh, we thought you were too busy with the Request-a-thon, so we didn't want to bring him by.
Ah!
I'm like, okay.
That's fine. I'm only here for like, you know, 12 plus hours. It's fine. I don't deserve a little treat.
So I've never met Bernie Kosar. He is still someone who I'd love to meet in person. I considered him to be a Cleveland legend, as many people would. I think that depending on how old you are, you would consider the baseball players from the 90s on the Indians, a lot of legends there. Browns fans would say Joe Thomas, Joel Petonio, and, you know, the Ernest Biner, the list goes on and on.
I was going to say, I mean, even just like my wheelhouse, WWE, I had something very similar happen. Like one of my first weeks working here, not one of my first weeks, but well, yeah, actually, this was maybe back in like June, May. The Miz in here. And I got a text. It's like, hey, The Miz is here. And I live next door. And I was like fully like already like in my pajamas, like laying down for a nap. And I was like, well, that doesn't help me. A little notice would have been nice. So I didn't get to meet The Miz when he was in here.
Would you consider The Miz to be a Cleveland legend?
I would consider The Miz to be a Cleveland legend. He was born and raised in Parma.
Okay.
And I mean, he's been in WWE forever now. He's one of like the longest guys that's been in there. And like, he's kind of like, his character is definitely like on like the funnier side most of the time,
mm-hmm.
but he's very good at what he does. And also as somebody that's very into WWE, even if somebody isn't winning all the titles and maybe isn't in the spotlight, you can usually tell when they're a person that's helping the younger guys get over. mm-hmm. or like get that notoriety, which I feel like The Miz is doing because he's a good wrestler. He's safe. So putting a new guy in the ring with him, they're going to be fine. Like, so, I mean, that's valuable in and of itself.
I am not disputing that The Miz isn't popular or that he doesn't have fans. I'm not saying that at all. But does he cross the threshold of Cleveland legend?
I think he will be in the WWE Hall of Fame. So I would say yes.
I would say that's rarefied air. And the inspiration for this conversation today is Jim Donovan. The passing of Jim Donovan, which has been on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Legend. Absolute legend and beloved by so many people in this town. And I don't know if I realized, in the grand scheme of things, how important he was to this city. Until we learned of his passing.
Yeah, how much recently. His voice, you know, being a part of people's Sunday football routine, really, that meant a lot to a lot of people.
Jim Donovan has been around since as long as I can remember. He became the sports director at WKYC Channel 3, I believe in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 11 years old back then. But I remember watching this guy. He used to do NFL games, national games. Like, not just, he wasn't doing the Browns. He was doing, like, the Bills against the Oilers back then.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, so he was doing games on a national level for NBC. And that's how I discovered him. And then when I realized that he was a local guy, he worked at Channel 3, when I was able to stay up late to watch the news and watch sports and watch highlights, because back then that was the only way that you could do that.
Yeah. You didn't have your phone.
Couldn't watch highlights on your phone. You had no idea how other teams did.
Yeah. You had to watch.
You had to stay up late. And so that's who introduced me basically to Browns football.
That's crazy.
And the rest of the NFL and all the other sports too. Jim Donovan staying up late to watch his sports casts was a treat. And I probably only did it in the summertime because I wasn't allowed to stay up late on school nights.
Right. And now, is Jim Donovan originally from here?
No, he's originally from Boston.
How long did he spend in Cleveland? Do you know?
I mean, since 1986.
At least. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing about Jim, is that he had the talent to go anywhere he wanted to go. He mm-hmm. could have been the top announcer for NFL football and NBC if he wanted to, because he also did World Cup games. I want to say he did the Olympics at some point in his career.
Wow.
But he chose to stay here in Cleveland and to be the voice of the Browns and to take over the radio hosting duties back in 1999. And everyone loved him for it. And he was a legend. What a legacy to leave behind.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've been seeing outpouring support and different people saying, you know, how much he meant to them. And did you see the Yankees player at the World Series? I want to say game 5, maybe.
No, I didn't see it.
They had like stand up for cancer signs and like, who are you standing up for?
Yeah.
And one of the Yankees players, he's from Twinsburg, and he wrote Jim Donovan.
No kidding.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't see that.
No, I didn't. Who is that? I wonder. Let's quick Google search should tell us. Yankees Twinsburg. That is what I put in the Google search. Scott Efros.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of him. Way to go, Scott.
Way to go, Scott. Well, yeah, and I saw it posted. I want to say it was either on Cleaver Leave on Instagram or mm-hmm. I'm from Cleveland. One of those pages posted like how cool it was just getting to see Jim Donovan, even just his name being part of such a major national stage.
Yeah.
Because it was shown on one of the World Series games.
That's so cool. Jim Donovan, I mean, he was getting praise and people were paying tribute even on the NBC Sunday Night Football game. You know, so nationally he was getting mm-hmm. all of that respect. And it's so cool to see. But before Jim Donovan was the voice of the Browns on the radio, there was a guy named Nev Chandler that had that job in the 80s when I was growing up. Like, he was my introduction to Browns football on the radio.
Okay.
And Nev Chandler I thought he did a fantastic job. And he worked locally for Channel 5. So I remember it was, I want to say 1989, and the Browns were in, I think it was a wild card game against the Oilers, if I remember correctly.
Are the Oilers a football team?
They were before they moved to Nashville, before they became the Tennessee Titans.
Isn't the Oilers a hockey team?
They used to be the Houston Oilers.
Oh, okay.
And I remember it's like a Saturday night, and my parents made me go to church because I grew up in a very Catholic family. And so I'm in the parking lot of Sacred Heart Church in New Philadelphia in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what, I guess my mother had, she felt sorry for me or whatever, but she let me leave Mass. And she gave me the keys to our car. And I went out to our car and I turned on the radio and I listened to this Browns playoff game in my car with Nev Chandler on the call.
You must have been so annoying in those church pews. She was like, just go outside. Just go.
Go sit. It's snowing and it's cold, but here's the keys.
Just go sit outside. I don't care.
And I can't even remember if the Browns won or lost. I'd have to look that up. But I just remember, but Nev Chandler was the voice of the Browns. I would consider him to be, depending on how old you are, I would consider him to be a Cleveland legend. And then staying in that same vein, Joe Tate. Used to be the voice of the Cavs for so many years. And again, because when I was growing up as a kid, like it would be a privilege for me to be able to watch the 11 o'clock news, to be able to watch sports highlights.
Mm-hmm.
But we also did not have cable when I grew up.
Oh, okay.
So if the game wasn't on Channel 3, Channel 5, Channel 8.
You weren't watching it.
Yeah. And so the Cavs games back then were, they used to be on Channel 43, WUAB. But I didn't have cable, so I could not watch a lot of Cavs games.
Mm.
So I would listen to Cavs games on the radio, and it would be Joe Tate calling the Cavs games. You know, Mark Price and Brad Doherty, wham, with the right hand. It was awesome to listen to him. So Joe Tate, again, Cleveland legend. I would put him in that category.
I have so much respect for the play-by-play guys. Mm-hmm. Like, just because I always just think about being in that booth. Like, as somebody that sits behind a microphone, I'm like, oh my, I would not be able to do that in real time. That's such a skill. Like, that is such a skill to be able to call like that of what is happening right in front of your face.
Not only are they talented and very good at their jobs, but I would say, and I know I'm extremely biased when I say this, but I think that we've had some of the best in the country do it. I say that Tom Hamilton, who calls Guardians games,
mm-hmm.
is the best announcer I've ever heard doing it on the radio.
Really?
I think so. Now, there's some guy, and I feel like I've listened to a lot of announcers do it on the radio. There was a guy in San Francisco, his name was John Miller, that I really enjoyed, but Tom Hamilton, and again, I know I'm biased, but the passion that Tom has when mm-hmm. he makes those radio calls, Tom Hamilton is one of the few Cleveland legends that I've been able to meet in person.
Oh, you met him?
One time when I was living in Arizona.
Oh,
there was a friend of mine who worked for iHeartRadio, mm-hmm. He handled the spring training broadcasts for the Guardians or the Indians at the time,
mm-hmm.
When they trained in Goodyear. Well, they still train in Goodyear, Arizona.
Right.
And so that was his job for the month. And I worked with him at iHeart in Phoenix, and he knew that I was a big Guardians fan, Indians fan. So he invited me to this one event one time that it was at this sports bar.
Uh-huh.
And they did a live broadcast that I think aired on WTAM in Cleveland, but he was working it. He was producing it.
How so cool.
He invited me to go. And the guests that night during the broadcast were Francisco Lindor, who I did not meet. I just watched him being interviewed.
Oh.
But then Tom Hamilton stopped by and he did this interview. And then afterwards, I posed for a picture with him. So I do have a picture of Tom Hamilton. This is what I said to Tom. And I don't know if this is stupid or not. I said, and I thought about this, and then I don't know if I came across as stupid. I said, Tom, I said, it's very nice to meet you. I said, when I look back on my life, when I am old and I'm looking back on my life and I'm thinking about the top 50 moments of my life, I said, you're going to be in about 10 of them. I said, your voice is going to describe about the 10 biggest moments of my life.
You're kidding me. You think that he would have thought that that was stupid?
I don't know what he thought.
Oh my gosh. He probably thinks about that at least once a week.
I doubt that. I'm sure people say nice things to Tom Hamilton, but legend. Tom Hamilton is
legend.
We should do whatever we can to preserve him and hold on to him as long as we can.
Protect him at all costs.
Yes, I really believe that. So a lot of what we're talking about, I think that, you know, because sports stars are one thing.
Uh-huh.
But I think that what we're talking about is radio, TV, and newspapers. Really, media.
Yeah, really.
So for radio, I have had my own personal heroes and mentors in my life who have given me advice, who have guided me throughout my career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a completely separate podcast, but I would not... While those people are very, very important to me personally, I don't know if they cross over to the threshold of
legend.
Cleveland legend.
Right.
But I do want to mention a couple because I think a couple do.
All right, let's hear them.
One of them is a man who hosted this show that we're working on right now, the Q Morning Show.
Oh.
His name was, or it still is, his name is Larry Morrow.
Okay.
And I believe he's in his 80s now, retired.
Well-deserved.
I think he lives in Chagrin Falls, the last time I heard. But he was doing mornings when I first started working at Q104 the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 90s. So when I started in 96, it was Larry and Sally in the morning. Right here on this radio station.
Oh, wow. That's kind of crazy.
I mean, but this guy, extremely long resume, you know, lots of accolades.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at a station called Wixie 1260. Which was, I mean, one of the...
An AM, clearly.
Yes, but one of the biggest stations in the country when radio first started. When Top 40 Radio started, you know, to become popular.
Right.
He was one of those personalities on that station.
Mm-hmm.
And then came to Cleveland and had a long, esteemed career here in Cleveland. And he finished out, I think he left the Q Morning Show, I think it was... Like in 99, right around there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then went on to do other things, but he is our predecessor.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And I always considered him to be a legend. Now, even though I worked there at Q104 at the time, I didn't really have a lot of interaction with him.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of moments that I remember. So they worked mornings. Sometimes I would fill in for the overnight guy and I would work overnights and then I would see him in the morning when he came into work.
Uh-huh.
And he would... always be nice and say good morning and say hello. And then I remember I'm in mid-conversation with him. He got distracted at the last second and he's like, Sal, he's talking to Sally, his partner. He's like, look at this. And he's carrying a jug of milk and he's like, someone drank our milk again.
What?
So I guess he liked to put regular milk into his coffee every morning and he kept it in the fridge, but someone kept using it. And he's like, look, the level's lower than it was yesterday. They did it again, Sal.
Oh, did he have like a little mark on it?
I think he did.
Oh, my goodness.
He did not like people using his milk ever.
I don't think I would like people using my milk either.
But how do you do that? It's a community fridge and you see a jug of milk in there and you want milk in your coffee.
Generally speaking, if you didn't bring it, you don't touch it. That's how I've always approached it.
Yeah, he did not enjoy that. But a very nice man. I wish I had more interaction with him.
Yeah.
That was Larry Morrow, back at Q104. There was a guy named Dan Dealey that used to work afternoons here at Q104. He was, a lot of help to me when I was first starting out. I would hang out in his studio and we would talk. We worked together a lot. And since I've been back here in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
I've tried to reach out to him to, you know, connect with him. I think it'd be so cool to see him. It just hasn't worked out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. What's he doing now?
I don't know what he's doing now. He might be retired as well.
Okay.
I mean, as far as Cleveland legends on the radio, I mean, there really aren't that many. I missed out on the heyday of WMMS and, you know, and you did too.
Yeah, I definitely missed it too.
Like I missed the Jeff and Flash days. I really wasn't a part of that. There was a morning show though on WMMS when I was in college. Brian and Joe. I would consider Brian and Joe to be Cleveland legends because they worked on a couple stations here in Cleveland. They worked on The End when The End was an alternative station. They worked on WMMS. They've worked for a lot of stations.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed their morning show when I was in college, just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And one time they came down to Kent.
Oh, really?
They did like a happy hour. They hosted a happy hour at BW3 in Kent.
How fun.
And so I asked my friends, I'm like, hey, I got to go. Like, I got to
meet. Yeah, let's go.
I got to meet Brian and Joe.
Right.
And we went, and they were, you know, in BW3 and Ken, and they were, you know, they'd get on the mics, and they'd welcome everybody there, and mm-hmm. they'd play some games and stuff like that, like games they would play on the radio. They played in person at BW3 and Ken. And I got the courage to introduce myself to Joe, and he was as gracious as you could be. Like, he was so nice, and it was wonderful to, so at least I could say I met Joe. I've never met Brian, but I met Joe.
But you met one half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, those were, I mean, as far as radio goes, those would be who I would consider to be Cleveland legends.
Your top right people.
Anybody else fit that description for you as far as radio goes?
I don't really know, honestly. I'm like trying to think, and I don't really know that I had anybody that played like that big of a part in my day to day.
Yeah.
Growing up, especially like in my first car, like I had like one of those little like the tape aux cords that you could put into like the cassette player.
Yeah.
That I was very proud of. And I would want to put my own music on when I got my first car, like all the time. But like the one, and like, I don't even want to say it because it's going to make him feel old. Not that he's going to listen, but like I always, every single day coming home from school, I would always listen to Java Joel on Kiss.
Oh yeah.
And like hearing him even now, it still always kind of like takes me back to, it's just very nostalgic. But what I will say is, you know, even after I had finished, you know, high school, finished college, the day after the Cavs won the 2016 championship, I'll tell you what, I could not wait to turn on the radio that day and just hear the excitement. And I remember turning on Kiss FM and hearing Java Joel, and he was taking calls. Everybody was so excited. It was just like, it was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the only moments in my life that I was just so excited to turn that radio on and hear the excitement from around the city.
Yeah.
And like, it just like, it was such a cool way to connect with everybody without even talking to anybody in person. I don't, there, it was a vibe that day.
I feel like I've met him once before, but
I honestly don't know that. Actually, no, I have met him. I used to intern at iHeart mm-hmm. in college, and I met him. I did like an event with him like once.
Yeah.
So he was really nice.
I think
he was super nice.
I think we're Facebook friends.
Yeah. I think I'm Facebook friends with him now too.
He works in Canton.
Yeah. Now. Yeah, he works, I forget the station. I was going to say it. I don't remember.
I think he works at WHBC in Canton.
Yes, that's what it is.
FM.
Yes.
Okay. You know who I would put on this list?
Who?
Cleveland legend, Leanne Summers.
Oh, yeah. I love Leanne, too.
She's been doing it in this market for a lot of years now.
Oh, yeah. Long time.
In fact, a couple of years ago. Well, who did it? Scene Magazine or Cleveland.com? They came out with this list of 100 most memorable radio personalities in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And Leanne Summers was not on that list.
Really?
And I was outraged.
That's like, shocking.
I was like, some of the people that were on the list should not have been on the list. And the fact that Leanne Summers, who's been on at least since the 90s,
mm-hmm.
has been on the radio in Cleveland, the fact that she was not recognized really bothered me.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have not seen her since, God, we almost worked together.
Like, oh, did you?
Yeah, she auditioned to join the Q Morning Show back in the early 2000s.
Oh.
And I mean, obviously she didn't get the job, but she was delightful. And I have not seen her since I've been back. It would be fun to catch up with her again sometime. All right. That's it for radio. That's it for radio people.
Yeah, honestly, like, I don't know any of their names, but I feel like some of the voices on WTAM, just because, like, I grew up having, like, my pap and my dad, like, listening to Guards games and stuff. Like, yeah. Those are the voices that I hear them, and I'm like, I don't know what your name is, but you are the sound of Cleveland to me. Like, that's what Cleveland sounds like in my brain.
All right, so I am going to lose you even more here.
Uh-oh.
As Grandpa starts to list off some other names.
Okay.
I'm going to list one guy who I consider to be a Cleveland legend, who is no longer with us, but he meant a lot to me. He meant a lot to me growing up and up until the point where he passed away. He wrote for the Plain Dealer. He was a columnist, Dick Fegler.
Okay. I've never heard of him.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. He appealed to me even in my 20s. Like, he wrote newspaper columns. That's it. Just columns. He wasn't like a reporter or anything like that. He told stories about the history of Cleveland, and he would have takes and perspectives on different things going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But stories, he would tell stories about things going on in Cleveland that weren't in the actual newspaper. They were stories, just things going on around town that he would find out about, and he would write a story about it.
Uh-huh.
It was tremendous. I loved his articles so much.
Oh, that's so fun.
I felt like for a while there, he was Cleveland to me.
Yeah.
Like, and there was a huge age difference between the two of us, but just the way that he talked about the growing up in Cleveland and the history of Cleveland and his perspectives on things, I just related to them and I enjoyed them very much. So he was a favorite of mine. He wrote some books like later in his career, like he would put his newspaper articles in books, and he would for a while there in the early 2000s, he was selling books.
Okay.
And so we had him as a guest on the show, which was a big thrill for me. He came on and we got to ask him questions about, you know, whatever we asked him about. I don't remember. I thought it was cool to have him on. But then I was invited to this book signing event that he had. It was like this media get together at, I think it was at like Morton's Steakhouse or something
that
like
that. That sounds right. Yep.
And I was like, yes, I'm definitely going. I want the opportunity to meet him in person.
Uh-huh.
And so I go there. I don't remember who I got to go with me. I remember having to beg someone to go with me to this. They're like, where do you want to go? And I'm like, I really want to meet Dick Fegler. He's a personal hero. So we go to this event, and the time finally comes around. Dick makes his way over to me, and I introduce myself, and I'm like, thank you for coming on the show. That was very nice of you. And he told a story to me. He immediately launches into this story about this one time that he was doing a radio interview, not with us, with somebody else, because he would do them all the time.
Like, yeah.
And he told this story. He's also a former smoker. And he said, I'm sitting in my chair, my easy chair, and I'm doing this interview, and I decide to light up a cigarette right at that moment. Well, also at the moment, I drop my lighter, and it falls in between the cushions of my easy chair.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, it's hot. So I don't want to start a fire
oh
here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So he's like, I'm doing this radio interview. In the meantime, I'm down on my knees, and I'm in my easy chair, and I've got my hand in there, and I'm trying to find my lighter. And just, he told this story, and then he finished the story, and then he left.
And that was it.
I know. And I was like, that was so cool. And I learned something there. I was like, he had that story ready. Like it was on file in the back of his mind. And he met a guy in radio, and so he pulled out the radio story and told me this story, and then left. He exited.
He's like, let me go through my Rolodex of memories. Yeah. Radio. Ah, there's one. Got it. Pull that out. Look.
And it just taught me this valuable lesson. Like, whenever I meet someone who listens to the show, potentially, and we're in a conversation, try to have a memorable story to tell them. Because I think that's how they remember you.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but I think you're right.
Just one of those lessons that I learned. Dick Fegler for me, Cleveland legend. Moving on to TV. I mean, did you grow up watching TV news like I did?
Oh my gosh. I watched so much news. Like, so much news. And I say that, like, I feel like I need to give, like, a preface that, like, there's so much, like, hullabaloo about the news now, right? And, like, some people feel very strongly about, like, it wasn't like that. We're talking, like, over a decade ago. I just loved to watch the news. I wanted to be a TV anchor. And so I would watch Fox 8.
Okay, let's stop here. We'll take a break here. will remember some of those Cleveland legends, TV personalities who we watched. And I think there's probably one of them that we'll agree on who by far surpasses everyone. That's next when we come back. It's Can't Read, Can't Write.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Can't Read, Can't Write. We're talking about Cleveland legends today. It is personalities in Cleveland. Again, sports stars are in one category. These are people that we grew up with listening to on the radio, watching on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about TV right now. Alyssa mentioned she watched Fox 8 all the time.
Literally all the time. Like, that was my go-to. And I also, for the most part, grew up with my grandparents.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, they're grandparents. They love the news. They watch the news all day, every day. And so I would watch Fox 8 in the morning before I went to school.
Who was the hosts? Who were the hosts of Fox 8 in the morning before you went to school at that time?
I know it was Wilma Smith. I think...
Wilma Smith in the morning? I thought she was at night.
Was she at night?
Yeah, I think... I remember Fox 8, Tim Taylor and Wilma Smith. They were the go-to anchors.
Yes, Tim Taylor. That's who I'm thinking of for the guy. But yeah, I honestly, I don't remember who it was in the morning at that time, but I know I watched it every morning, and I also would watch the news in the evening. I would watch the 5 o'clock news and the 6 o'clock news, and then a lot of the time I would still be up to catch the 10 o'clock news too. So I seriously was watching at least like 3 hours of news a day. And in eighth grade, I was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be, like I said, I thought I wanted to be an anchor. And that very quickly changed once I got to college, and I was like, oh, you have to wear heels to be on the news? I don't want to do that. That's crazy. And so here we are in radio. But the one person that, you know, just always sticks in my brain that I love dearly with all my heart, Dick Goddard. I mean, come on.
The GOAT.
You don't get more legend than that when it comes to TV in Cleveland. Literally the GOAT. And I've met him a couple of times. The first time that I met him was before homecoming, I want to say in 10th grade. I had gone to Steak and Shake with my friends before the dance. And Dick Goddard was there. And he gave me and my friends coupons to Steak and Shake. And he told us that we looked very nice. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Dick Goddard. And then I met him again at Mapleside Farms. I was already in college, and I told him that, you know, I was going to Kent just like him. And he said, like, it was something to the beat of like, oh, like, how are you doing? Because I told him, I was like, I'm going for journalism. Like, just like you.
Yeah.
And, he
he's
like,
you said he's a Kent State grad too,
right?
Yeah,
he's a Kent State grad.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, wow, very good. Like, you know what? How are you doing in school? I was like, I'm doing pretty good. I have like a 3.5. And he was like, so there's room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Dick, come on. I'm doing my best. I was
like
on the dean's list.
I like that Dick wasn't satisfied with your grades.
He was not satisfied with the 3.5. He wanted that 4.0.
He was trying to motivate you.
He was.
Did it work? Did you ever get it? higher than a 3.5?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I did try. I did really try. Because I think I graduated with like a 3.4. I think my resume might say a little differently. Yeah. But I want to say I graduated with like a 3.4. And I really did try to pull it up above a 3.5 before graduation. It's just not in the cards.
Yeah.
But regardless, like I have a couple of things like autographed by him. I have like a Woolly Bear Festival sticker autographed by Dick Goddard. I have his children's book, and he autographed that and like did like a personalized little thing inside for me too. And when he passed away a couple years ago, it was really hard. Like it takes a lot to get me to cry. Like I'm a pretty emotional person, but I'm not a crier for the most part. And even when like family members have passed away, that's not generally how I like emit emotion. I cried. Like I was so upset. He was just such a big part of my everyday. And it was just one of those things that I'm just like, how can he be gone?
Yeah.
Like it's Dick Goddard, you know? Like, so.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, it's the first personality that you like, that you relate to, that you're inspired by. And when you lose them, you know, it's really tough.
It's just one of those things that it's like, because he was part of my everyday, I just thought he would always be around.
Yeah.
You know, you don't imagine your days without that person. But no, I have so much love for Dick Goddard and everything that he did. I watched every single like tribute thing that they did on Fox 8 after his passing. And even just seeing him as like a young meteorologist, I was like, oh my gosh. Ah! Like, so that's my TV legend. I don't think you'll beat it.
Have you ever been to the Woolly Bear Festival?
I have not. I have not. But every time I see a woolly bear, I do pick it up.
Yeah.
And I give it a little pet.
I never had the chance to meet Dick Goddard in person. However, back when I worked on the Q Morning Show the first time around, early 2000s, I was doing a Dick Goddard impersonation.
You were?
I was.
Can you do it now? I kind of want to hear it.
I'm going to try to do it right now.
Okay.
And I don't know how good it is now. Back then, it got me on TV.
Oh, it did? Did you get on Fox 8?
Yes. I don't remember what we were doing some promotion, and it was early in the morning. It was at Shooters in the Flats.
Uh-huh.
And I was there, and Fox 8 was there, and I was wearing a suit, and I had a white powdered wig on. And I would do my Dick Goddard impersonation.
I love it.
So I'm going to try to do it right now.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Now,
I got to hear this.
This is over 20 years ago. So I have not done this impersonation in a very long time. So you're going to have to, it might take me a second to get into it. All right. So we have the unseasonably warm temperatures right now on Halloween. High temperature is going to be up into the 80s tonight, but it's going to get cool overnight, drop down into the 40s or so, and then over the weekend, potentially an Alberta Clipper might be making its way through the region, and we'll have some very cold temperatures on the way for the weekend. We'll check that out in the 5-day forecast coming up later on in the hour.
That was pretty good.
Did you like that?
That was good. I closed my eyes because I really wanted to like just listen and not be looking at you. That was pretty good. I'm a little disappointed that you never got a reaction from Dick.
No, that's not true.
Oh, you did get a reaction. You just didn't meet him.
Also on the Q Morning Show, we had Dick Goddard as a guest to promote the Woolly Bear Festival.
Oh.
And I got to interview Dick Goddard as Dick Goddard.
And
he got a kick out of it. So I was like, so Dick, so we've got, tell us about all of the wonderful things that we can see this weekend at the Woolly Bear Festival. Will there be cotton candy? Will there be face painting for the kids? Just tell us what's going on. And then he would be like, oh my goodness. So we had this going on. And we went back and forth and it was just so much fun. And I don't have, you know, back then.
I was going to say, I know back then, like there's no paper trail. We don't have it on the internet, and I wish that we had that video.
Yeah, the technology that we have now, I would have instantly had a copy of that conversation.
Yeah.
Back then, we just did not have.
It's just lost to time.
So it's just in my memory, but it's a wonderful memory that I'll always have. So I did not meet him in person, but I did get to interview Dick Goddard as Dick Goddard.
That is pretty cool. That is quite a flex. I've never done that.
As far as like other, I mean, you're right. There is no one, that I can think of
that even comes close.
That tops Dick Goddard. I mean, Jim Donovan probably comes close. They are in the same category. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Dick Goddard, I mean, at least for me, I think Jim Donovan would say that Dick Goddard is right up there at number one. But I mean, just some other names that I thought of, Cleveland television history that I used to enjoy watching on TV. If I say the names, I don't know if you'll recognize them. Ted Henry from Channel 5. Robin Swoboda from Fox 8.
Yes, yes, I know Robin.
I enjoyed her very much. Connie Deacon from, I think she was on WKYC and maybe a few other places. I'm not sure. Personalities that are still on the air. Stephanie Schaefer.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie Schaefer, Wayne Dawson.
Wayne Dawson, yeah.
Also, Kenny. Can we give some love for Kenny?
Kenny Crumpton.
Kenny Crumpton. He also has been on Fox 8 since I was like a wee little gal. And I swear he doesn't look any different than when I was watching in like 2003.
I have met Kenny Crumpton. So again, early 2000s, working on the Q Morning Show. I had to go to Chicago for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was some sort of a promotion. God, I want to say that it was Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
And Cirque du Soleil, I think, was coming to Cleveland. And so they sent us to Chicago to go watch it before it came to Cleveland. And okay. It might not have been Cirque du Soleil, but it was something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It was something very similar to whatever that was. So we jumped on a plane. It was like literally an overnight trip. Like we flew in one day, we flew out the next morning. We watched the show, flew out the next morning. Kenny Crumpton from Fox 8 was on this trip. And so it was,
so you were literally kicking it with Kenny.
We did kick it with Kenny.
Ah!
So here's what happened. So we went to go watch the show and it was me. It was Glenn Anderson, who now works on Star 102. I think Brian Conroy used to work on the Q Morning Show back in the day. I think the three of us were on the trip, but I think Kenny was definitely on the trip as well. And so after we watched this show, we jumped into a cab and we went to go find a bar.
Okay. With Kenny?
With Kenny.
With Kenny.
And so cut to, and I have very little memory about this night, but I do remember it being 4 in the morning. And we are shooting pool with Kenny Crumpton in some bar.
What?
In Chicago.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
We got zero sleep that night and then we jumped on the plane and came back home.
There's plenty of time for sleep. That was not the time for it.
We had a hotel room. I'm not even sure if I went to the hotel room because we just stayed out all night in Chicago.
Wow. That's fun.
Other names that I have here, I won't say that I was a huge fan, but I have to put them in Cleveland legend category, Big Chuck and Little John. Do you know who I'm talking about there?
I know who you're talking about. I've never watched.
Yeah, they had a late night show. I think it was on the weekends. I think it was on Fox 8.
It was, yeah. It was, I remember it like very vaguely. Mm-hmm. It wasn't on for like very long into me like really watching the news though. Like really watching Fox 8. Another one that I think she's kind of young. Like, mm-hmm. So I don't know that we would put her into the legend category quite yet, but I think she's well on her way. And she came to, I remember she came to talk at my high school at least once, if not more. Betsy Kling. Love Betsy Kling. She's so nice. I don't remember why I liked her so much after she came to, like, she, like, did an assembly at my high school. I don't remember what it was about her that really, like, stuck with me. But I remember being like, wow, she's really cool. Like, I really like her.
I think that is an excellent segue into the last part of this conversation that I was interested in having is, are Cleveland legends, is that a thing of the past? Like, is that so rare because of just the time that we lived in and the time period that we grew up in? Because right now you have, I mean, you can't deny it, radio, TV, newspapers, They all have declined and continually declining listeners, viewers, and readers.
Yeah.
Because
at least in their, I'll put like a little asterisk, at least in their traditional fashion.
Yes.
Yeah. So like we're moving toward more multimedia, streaming, apps, you know, short form stuff.
Right.
So in their traditional form of actually turning on the radio, actually turning on your TV, yeah, it's not as common. And the Plain Dealer doesn't do 5 days. They haven't done 5 days a week in a long time.
Right. The actual newspaper.
Yeah. I think they might. I don't even want to say. I think they might be down to two.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But even with, I believe all their stuff is on Cleveland.com.
Yes, it is.
And you have to pay for it to read it.
Yes, you do.
And I'm currently not doing that.
Yeah.
And so there is no columnist that I found that I enjoy because I can't read their stuff without paying for it.
But you know what I will say, though, is like throughout this whole conversation, the things that all of these people have had in common is that they, again, kind of like what I was saying earlier, it's like we have memories of these people, their face, their voice. We grew up with them. And, you know, whether radio, TV, newspaper is declining or not, I mean, that doesn't change the fact that these people still, like, again, 2016, the first thing I do the day after the Cavs win, I turn on the radio.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that doesn't change the way that we're still, like, consuming. The fact that, like, yeah, there's definitely going to be Cleveland legends in the media. I think if we have this conversation in 10, 15 years.
Do you think so?
Because I think so.
I'm not sure. With, of course, I still listen to radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I still watch the news occasionally. But I think there's so many things that are out there that distract us and command our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Social media.
Yeah.
Whatever else there is. I'm not sure if it's possible to become a Cleveland legend anymore and to become a Cleveland household name like Jim Donovan was and like Dick Goddard was. I just don't think it's possible to break through the clutter. And if you do, then you really truly are somebody special.
Yeah. You have a good point. I'm not sure. I mean, I think the time will tell. Yeah. And I also think that we'll start to see, I think that we'll be considering Cleveland legends more as like Jason and Travis Kelce podcasters. I think we could even see it in the realm of influencers and YouTubers.
MGK? Would he be?
I mean, he's a musician.
Is he on his way to becoming a Cleveland legend, though?
I would say Kid Cudi before MGK. And I love MGK, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, when I think Cleveland, I think Kid Cudi. Like, I think of him literally selling CDs out of his trunk on the streets of Cleveland back in the day. Like, that is a true Cleveland legend to me.
Yeah.
Even now. And he's not, again, not that old. But yeah, I mean, I think that we'll see, or like, you know, I hate to say it, but like Logan Paul, super successful dude. Like, what do you okay. Well, you know, whether you like him or not, I think that again, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, we are having this conversation. I think he could very potentially be on this list. And what he's doing is not traditional media.
I wonder if perspective has a lot to do with it. And also where you are, at what stage in your life you are, because I'm older than almost everyone now. No, that's it.
Okay.
No, that's okay.
All right,
that didn't come
drama
out right.
Queen Bill.
Okay. What am I trying to say? Anybody starting out right now, I'm probably not going to consider you a legend because I'm older than you.
That's fair.
And I don't think that I relate to them as much as I did Jim Donovan and a Dick Goddard.
You can't look like up. You can't look up to them.
It's impossible right. for me to look up to you because you're younger than me.
Exactly.
And so, but that doesn't mean there isn't a legion of fans that they have that would propel them to become a Cleveland legend. It's just that I'm not going to go along
with it. It's just not going to be you.
It's just not going to be me, you know, pushing them up or
moving the needle.
Right. It's just not going to happen for me. So I wonder if that has something to do with it, you know, and then considering like the two of us, like it would be a dream for this show to continue to succeed and to have, you know, this city recognize us as Cleveland legends.
That'd be cool.
It'd be cool. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so.
And that's okay. And I think, I would love to be like, because like going back to Larry Morrow, who used to host this show.
Uh-huh.
When Cleveland had their bicentennial in 1996, it was insane. Like, Alyssa, I wish you could have been there for it because the flats were packed. packed.
Really?
Like, it was crazy. And they did this whole big ceremony down in the flats. And they invited Larry Morrow to play the part of Moses Cleveland.
Oh, my gosh.
So he dressed up as Moses Cleveland, and he was part of this ceremony. But Cleveland knew to ask him to do it because he was such a legend in the town.
Right.
Will I ever be asked to do anything like that? Probably not. But that's what makes it so special.
Yeah.
For someone like Larry Morrow, for Dick Goddard, for Jim Donovan, that they had so much success in their career that they were able to achieve the level of legend
right
in this town. And I mean, that's great for them. It just shows how special they were.
Yeah. I think that this whole conversation around legends, you know, how we started out when you said, you know, there's people that I like, but I don't know if I consider them legends. They might have been mentors. And I think that that's a good, right there, what you just said with that is exactly kind of how I'm feeling about all of us in it right now. You know, people might like us, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. You might be right. I don't know that legends are something that we will see much of going forward as far as, you know, Cleveland media goes. But that's just, times are changing.
I think that's a good way to end it. Yeah. I think you said it perfectly. Okay, that's the conversation.
Time will tell, though. We'll see.
That's the conversation I wanted to have.
Little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I feel good about it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Can't Read, Can't Write. I can tell you right now, the people who listen to this podcast who support me that don't live here in Cleveland, like I know we have listeners of this podcast in Arizona, Colorado, Oregon. And I know that they're listening right now and they're like, you know, I'm not going to be able to continue down this path with you, Bill, if you just keep talking about things that I don't understand.
You know, maybe we should have put at the beginning that if you are going to listen to any episode on 2x speed, if you're not from here, this might be the one.
I think my followers out west understand. I think they get it.
They
by
get
now.
That,
they,
yeah.
They know what I'm trying to do over here. So thank you to them if they lasted all the way through the episode. And thank you to you if you have made it this far. Thank you for listening to our episode on Cleveland Legends. It is Can't Read, Can't Write. We'll talk to you again next week.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.